Good morning, and welcome to Coffee and Prayer. I'm Pastor Andrew F. Carter, and it is 5:30 a.m. here in Inglewood, California. As you guys are tuning in, please let me know where you are and what time it is where you guys are checking in from. What is up? Good morning. Come on in, grab your coffee, grab your water, grab your tea, whatever it is that you're going to drink this morning. Grab your Bible and let's get moving forward. Look, we got brothers and sisters from around the world. Miami is in the house. These are our devotions. I just pinned them at the bottom. We are reading Revelations 2 and Genesis 45. We've got Huntington Beach, Dallas, Texas. We've got people from all around the world. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. San Jose, Irvine. Man, the coffee's hot. We got Texas in the house. Couple people from Texas, El Paso, Texas, Houston, Michigan, England. It's 1:30 p.m. Orlando, Oregon. I love it. Tennessee, Costa Mesa. So check it out. This is what we're going to do is we are going to pray. We're going to go over Revelations chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 45. I want to remind you guys that you guys are reading this on your own. This is not story time with Pastor Andrew. This is a time of devotion where you guys are reading this on your own. I'm giving you context. I'm giving you food for thought. And sharing some things that the Spirit put on my heart. Amen. I want to jump right into it this morning. Let's see. Hold on one second. I'm seeing that we're already frozen. Interesting. What is going on here? Those of you on the podcast, I'm having some technical difficulties. Am I back? What's going on? Huh. Oh, we already got resistance in the first 2 minutes. Nah, that's not going to happen. Am I good? Somebody said, this is not working. Frozen. But I'm back. Are we back, baby? Let's go. Oh, the devil knows it's going to be good. Let's get it. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for your truth. We want to thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. We want to thank you for the power of transformation. God, we cannot be who it is that you've called us to be without you. You are our change. God, we have invited you into our heart to do this divine heart surgery to change us from the inside out. We want to be more like your son, Jesus. Forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for our mistakes. Forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for the selfishness, the times in our lives where we make decisions and choices out of our own selfish desires. God, we are drawing near to you, knowing that you will draw near to us. We are standing on your truth. We understand that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know that the power in us is greater than the power in this world. So Lord, as we draw near to you, we pray that your word would be planted in our heart, that it would come to fruition, that it would come to the forefront of our mind and the forefront of who we are and the way that we live our lives, no longer bowing to temptation, no longer trying to fit in with this world. God, help us to know that we are aliens in this place. Help us to know that we have been chosen and set aside. Help us to know that we are a royal priesthood. Help us to start to walk in the fullness of who you've called us to be when you called us and when you saved us. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You guys, the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation is just that. It is a revelation. We understand that the word revelation is Greek for apocalypsis, which means an unveiling or a disclosure. Understand that what is happening as we read the book of Revelation, written by John, who is in the Spirit, visited by Christ, and has been given the task of not translating, but you know, writing down the things that were spoken to him and the things that he saw. This is an unveiling. Understand, this is a pulling away from your eyes. You might have seen life up to this point in one way, but as we unveil and as you start to see full disclosure, you're able to see things for what they truly are. In chapter 2, we go over four of the seven, right? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Four of the seven letters or messages to the church, the different churches that Christ had revealed to John. And so in the first one, to the church in Ephesus, it says, write this to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Some of the things that are powerful and stood out. It says, I know what you do, how you work hard and never give up. The church in Ephesus were hard workers. The church in Ephesus said that they had patience. In verse 3, you have patience and have suffered troubles for my name and you have not given up. In verse 4, though, it says one of the things that they've struggled with is that they've lost their love. That they've become loveless, cold, and even religious. It says, you have left the love you had in the beginning. So remember where you were before you fell. He says, change your hearts and do what you did at first. As I read this, I have to be completely transparent and honest. I was a little convicted, right? As I'm reading Revelation and this very first message to the church in Ephesus, I was convicted. Because I feel like, this keeps freezing. This keeps freezing. We're going to power through. Guys, I'm not going to jump off of here. So if it freezes or whatnot, stick with me. Stick with me. Interesting. So I was convicted because I felt like I might have lost a little bit of love. I feel like my heart's gotten a little bit harder, right? I've become, I don't want to say less empathetic, but I definitely felt challenged in the mindset when I first started in ministry. I feel like I extended a lot of grace. And upon reflection, I start thinking about some of the hard stances that I have. I have a hard stance against sin that will never change. I have a hard stance against excuses. But I feel like there's room for me to be more loving, to be more gentle, and to be more caring in certain areas and in certain situations. We read in Jude, it said, with some use compassion and with others use, you know, the fear of fire, right? With some use like the threat of hell. And so I guess that over the last few months, because of what God has done in my life and the power and transformational person of Jesus, the experience that I've had, I feel like my heart has most definitely become a little hardened. And I get frustrated with people, and frustration isn't a fruit of the Spirit, right? When people are lagging behind or they're not up to speed, rather than extending grace and compassion, I've created this hardened stance. And so I need to definitely do a better job, right? A better job of the love that I extend to others, the love that I first had. There was this passion, there was this compassion, there was this empathy that I believe that that I think I might have fallen away from. And so it was good. I believe that as we read this, because it even says in verse 7, every person who has ears should listen. Every person who has ears should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches, right? This message is for the churches, yes, but everybody who has ears should listen to this rebuke. They should listen, because there's something that you can learn. I love that when it comes to learning, you can learn from other people's mistakes. And here, you know, many of these churches, many of these messages are receiving rebuke. Many of them are receiving correction. Some of them are even receiving pats on the back. But if we pay attention, we can glean the information from their failures, from their mistakes, from the areas that they needed to work on. And I don't think that any of us are above reproach. I believe that if we are being reflective, if we are being honest, the Holy Spirit that dwells within us will confirm that sometimes there's areas in our lives that we might drift away from. Right? The Bible's constantly telling us to be on guard, to remember. It's always telling us to draw near to God, because I believe that we're so quick to stray. As human beings in our humanity, some of the things that we tend to do is we tend to stray away from God. We have these squirrel moments. It's like one moment we can be in the presence of God, worshiping, praising, reading our Bible, devoting time, energy, and effort to knowing Him better and deeper. And in the blink of an eye, we can start drifting away. Our attention, our focus, all of our thoughts, our grounding, our anchoring, our foundation. If we're not diligent, if we're not aware, if we're not focused, we can easily be drawn away from God. It only takes a tragedy or something happening like quickly to pull us away. One moment we can be praising God, living in the blessing and the joy of our salvation, and then we get bad news and we can immediately start drifting away from God. And so it's in these moments where as we're reading the scripture and the Holy Spirit, we have to embrace that. Right. Sometimes we might feel like people are like it's harsh or it's rough. I would rather be corrected or harshly rebuked by a brother or sister in Christ in love than continue down a path or in a direction where I'm falling away from God, or I'm not focused, or my heart is hardening, or I'm becoming more religious, or I'm becoming, something that God never intended me to be. Right. And again, I don't accept rebuke. I don't accept correction by everybody. You have to prove that you are submitted by God. People always, people will come into the messages or will send me messages and try to rebuke me. And it's just like, I don't know you. I have people in my life who are on these lives, who I trust, who I have put in positions in my life to be able to speak into them. Who rebuke, who definitely oversee and make sure that the things that I'm speaking and the way that I'm being, is in line with the plan, purpose, and will that God has for me. And so, not everybody's rebuke, not everybody's opinion about things that I'm doing or saying, holds weight in my mind, because they don't know me personally or know my heart. And so, it's important that you have people in your life who can speak to you plainly, who can rebuke, encourage, or speak to you. But I think most importantly, being in tune with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. And as you're reading the Word of God, if it corrects or rebukes or speaks to you, being receptive, understanding, and being like, ooh, that's good. I feel that. Let's work on that, right? Let's work on that. That's good. So the church, to the letter in the church to Smyrna, some of the things that I want to point out, I love the, in each one, there's a new description of Christ based on the introduction, right? Based on the introduction. In the first one, he says, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands says this. And then the church to Smyrna says, the one who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again, says this, right? In this church, this church doesn't have a strong rebuke or correction. He says, I know your troubles and that you're poor, but you're really rich. I know the bad things some people say about you, right? He says, but do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and will test you, and you will suffer for 10 days, but be faithful even if you have to die. I will give you the crown of life. Everyone who has ears should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Those who win the victory will not be hurt by the second death. The church in Pergamum, I love the description. It says, the one who has the sharp double-edged sword says this. Remember, he has this double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Wow, this is good. I love this. This is so good. I love that there is... this is good. This is confirmation, you guys. Confirmation. I just want to say this for just a moment. It's confirmation because there's a ridiculous amount of distraction. I can feel it. I can sense it, and it's in my spirit. Attention is being pulled in different directions. There are individuals on here that are spamming. The connection is poor. I sense it in the spirit. It's wild. You guys, what is it that we're doing? What is it that we're sharing that is drawing so much distraction? And not just here on this live, but also also in our lives, also in our personal lives. It's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah, you guys tell, stay focused, stay focused. I am focused. This is the spirit. This is the message. This is what we need to be seeing. You guys, resistance is real. You guys understand that? Resistance is real, and it is a spiritual battle. The beauty of it is that individuals who are here for the wrong reasons are going to receive the word. God's word doesn't return void. So even if they're here for the wrong reasons meant to distract, they're hearing the word of God, which is the truth. And so this is the time to share the gospel as we're going to continue in Revelation. Remember, you're not here to hear me listen, hear me read. You're here for some context, some food for thought. And so this is what we're going to do. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether on the podcast or on this live. And for those on the podcast right now, there's about 514 people. There are a lot of distracting comments and people are, you know, they're acting out. They're putting all kinds of nasty emojis, all kinds of stuff. The connection keeps pausing and stopping because it says poor connection. It's crazy. There's an immense amount of distraction, but this is what people need to hear. Understand that everybody under the sound of my voice was born in sin, and sin separates you from God. Do you understand that? Your sin separates you from God. And without a savior, without a penalty or a price being paid for your sin, you must receive the consequences. But the good news, the gospel is this: your sin debt was paid for. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. God came to this earth in the flesh, and he paid the price for your sin. And because of his sacrifice, if you put your faith in Jesus, you can receive the free gift of salvation. So I don't know if you're here, if you're here for the wrong reasons, if you're under the sound of my voice, you have no excuse because you are hearing the gospel. You are receiving the gospel, the good news that a savior came to save you, to pay the price for your sins with his blood. He lived a life that was pure and blameless and sinless. And then he laid it down on the line. He laid his life on the line for your sins. And I want you guys to know that Jesus loves you, that he cares about you, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way, there's no other way to the Father except for through him. Understand that his death, burial, and resurrection was real. You guys understand that? There is good news. There is good news, and you have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Savior of your soul and the Lord of your life if you invite him in. Right now, you're under the impression that what you're doing is distracting, right? What other group of individuals is under attack like this? Why is it that they're banning the Bible in countries around the world? Why is there an attack on Christianity? It's because it's the truth. Why is it that people from other religions and other walks of life deem it necessary to come here while all we're doing is reading a book? If it's a fairy tale, then why are you so offended? If it's not the truth, then why do you look to distract? If it's not the word of God, then why are you here trying to pull our attention away from it? If we are of no threat, if this is just a sky daddy or a fable, if it's just a story, if it's not real, if it doesn't hold power, then why are you so consumed with trying to disrupt what we're doing here? Have you thought about that? Search inside of yourself, because the spirit inside of you right now is being convicted. The spirit inside of you right now is understanding that, wow, this is weird. My thought, my process, I'm here trying to distract and pull people's attention away from what they're doing. Yet I don't believe in what they're doing. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? You're here for a reason. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. The word of God is real. There is truth in what is being spoken. God's word does not return void. And right now, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. And by putting your faith in him, you can be forgiven. You too can have eternal life and salvation. So please, on the day of judgment, you cannot say that you have not heard the good news. You cannot say that you have not heard the name of Jesus. You cannot say that you did not have an opportunity. You cannot say that you didn't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because even here, you are receiving the good news. You're hearing the good news. And so on the day of judgment, understand that you are going to have to answer for the time that you spent here on this earth. You are going to have to give an account of the time that you heard the gospel, you heard the good news, and had an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Understand that. There's consequences for your actions, and you will be punished according to the scripture and according to the word. So the church says, the church in Pergamum, from the one who has the double-edged sword, he says, I know where you live. It is where Satan has his throne, but you are true to me. This church was seated right in the middle of where Satan's throne was, surrounded by evil and wickedness. He says, but you did not refuse to tell about your faith in me, even during the time of Antipas, my faithful witness who was killed in your city where Satan lives. But they still had a few things against them. Right, some there who follow the teaching of Balaam, they sin by eating food and taking part in sexual sins, and you also have some who follow the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Did a little study on the Nicolaitans. That there's not a lot known about them, so that would be a fun study for you guys, is to look into, hey, who are the Nicolaitans? What were they following? What were they teaching? Well, let me do a deeper dive. Let me do a little bit of research, because they mentioned them, the Nicolaitans, twice. The church in Ephesus, they were mentioned to hate the Nicolaitans just as he does, just as Christ does. He says, you hate what the Nicolaitans do as much as I. But here we see that this church, they have some individuals who are following what the Nicolaitans teach. So he encourages them in verse 16, so change your hearts and lives. If you do not, I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword that comes out of my mouth. Again, everyone who has ears should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. And then the last one is the church in Thyatira. He says that the Son of God, who has eyes that blaze like fire and feet like shining bronze, says this: I know what you do. I know about your love, your faith, your service, and your patience. I know that you're doing now more now than you did at first. But this is what he has against this church that we can learn from. He says that you let a woman Jezebel spread false teachings. She leads my people to take part in sexual sins and to eat food that is offered to idols. Right? He gave her a chance to change, but she doesn't want to change. And, all those who will take part in adultery will suffer greatly if they don't turn from the wrongs that she does. He says, I am the one who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you for what you have done. I will not put any other load on you, only continue in your loyalty until I come, and continue to be obedient to me until the end. That spoke to me heavily, right? Continue in your loyalty, continue in your obedience, continue to trust God, continue to be in the word, continue to be discipled, continue to grow in truth. And that's where we leave off with those letters. We're going to try something here. In Genesis chapter 45, right? We're going to leave that right there. We got good news. Joseph finally breaks down, and he couldn't restrain himself any longer. And he tells his brothers who he is. Pharaoh basically blesses everything. That his hands, that he blesses his family, and sends for his dad, and so now they're all heading back. Amen. So today, man, just not with it today. I feel a lot of distraction. My spirit's heavy. I'll be right back. Hold on a second. All right. Just checking on something. Okay. So look, today there's been a lot of distraction. I mean, there's stuff going on outside here. And it's wild. It is absolutely wild. I feel in my spirit, I feel in my heart of hearts that I think a lot of people are dealing with distraction. I'm good. So like, you guys don't even got to pray for me. It's my spirit. My spirit is just like, it's heavy. There's a message. There's something that's just shut up in my bones that, I just want to, I'm overwhelmed right now, and not in a bad way. So you guys, like, I'm good. I'm totally good. It's just, I'm trying to put words to what's going on. There's distraction. There's all kinds of things that pulling at people's focus and attention. We are under attack, church. Please understand that there is a spiritual war going on all around us. And it's like, in these moments, what do we do? Right? I want to run to the word. I want to run to scripture. I want to run to prayer, right? That's what we're going to do right this second. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stick this out. We're riding through this, but just know that like I'm being pulled in so many directions spiritually. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not shook. We're like, oh guys, I need your prayer. Calm down. Like, I'm good. I'm trying to put words to what the Spirit is speaking to me. So this is what we're going to do. Let's pray heaven down. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for today. God, we understand that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Lord, we see the attack of the enemy. We see that the enemy is coming in from all around. Lord, we know that you are near. God, our hope, our faith, and our trust, it's all in you. We pray against any attack that is coming against us, not just here on the live, but in our lives, God, against our families and our workplaces. We pray against any demonic entity, power, or principality in the spiritual realm. We pray against the spirit of witchcraft. We pray against the spirit of demonic entities. We pray against the spirit of adultery. We pray against the spirit of lust. We pray against the spirit of poverty. We pray against the spirit of addiction. We pray against the spirit of mental health issues. We pray against the spirit of disease and sickness. We pray against the spirit of distraction. We come against these things in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We will stand firm on the anchor and the foundation of who Jesus is. Lord, we need you. You are our strength. You are our strong tower. You are our anchor, our foundation. We will not be shaken as we put our hope, our faith, and our trust in you, not in the things of this world. God, we give you praise and glory because we know that you've won this war. We know how this is done. We know that it is finished. Lord, we wage war on the enemy. We stand strong knowing that you are our strength. You are our power. You have given us boldness and authority to stand against the attacks of the enemy. God, you are our shield. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus. It's in his mighty name that we pray. Amen and amen. God is so, so good. Guys, what do you do in your time, in the times when you're attacked? What do you do when you feel distraction, when you feel that? Do you get frustrated? Do you throw in the towel? Do you run away from it? Guys, we're more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And understand, I've preached this and I've shared this often many times, as we are stepping closer to what it is that God's called us to, the resistance is going to be turned up. The heat gets hotter, man. It gets more intense. I'm claiming things and praying for things and believing for things here in the physical realm that are frustrating things in the spiritual realm. I believe that I know that I was called to this city, Inglewood, and I know that God is setting things up and putting me in places. He is giving me territory, giving me victory. We are being circled in prayer by mighty prayer warriors and the things that we're doing. Of course, there's going to be distraction. Of course, there's going to be resistance in the spirit. Of course, these things are going to happen. I would be a fool to think otherwise. I would be a fool to wake up and not put on my armor. I would be a fool not to wake up and not show up to coffee and prayer. It's crazy. You know what I mean? But I get it. And so rather than running from it, I'm going to run to it. I'm going to stand firm. And I encourage each and every one of you guys. Look, we had our Faith and Fitness Zoom last night. And my sister Bromley, she said that she was just like, she hasn't been a Christian like she's a Christian now. And that was an absolute compliment. It was something that made me think that what we're doing here on Coffee and Prayer and in our ministry here at Royal City Church is we are creating disciples. We are going all in. We are living with an authority and a boldness that doesn't look like modern day Christianity, right? It's a discipline. It is a consistency. It is an unshakability. Like, we've become unshakable because of the foundation that we are building our lives on, which is the rock, which is Jesus. A lot of modern day religion is shaken. It's easily shaken. It's easily turned upside down. The focus is self. The focus is me. The focus is living my best life now. But what we're doing is creating individuals that aren't religious, that are filled with love and grace and empathy and care, but are also, dude, we're warriors. We aren't going to be pushed around in the spiritual realm. And so today was just a prime example from the time we got on here. It's funny because, like, beforehand, I was like, this is going to be good. I'm excited about Revelation. Like, I just want to be very clear. I'm not going through it. I'm not struggling. I'm just, the spirit in me is going, oh, I can sense it. I shared with you, like, in our life, Kyra, somewhere along the line, we experienced some identity theft. Somebody got a hold of her card, man, has been running up charges. We blocked the card. We stopped it. She's getting a new one. But as she's going through it, she's finding more charges. And it goes back even further. She wasn't paying attention to it because they were small, subtle ones. And at the time, we were traveling so much. We were in Kansas City. We were in all these different places. And so we were using the card, but it started, you know, back then with like $8, you know, 25, like little ones that didn't pop up. And because there were so many charges as we were traveling, she didn't even know. So she's been dealing with, you know, financial stuff. We realized there's a bunch of money has been gone in small increments. And it's just like, there's this attack in that aspect. There's just like all of these little things that are coming against us. And it's just like, you know what? It feels good, which is super weird. You might be like, this, you're insane. You're excited about that. It feels good because I understand that all of these things are meant to distract and to become the center of my focus and attention. Right? When bad things are happening and, you know, you've got issues in the family, there's all of these things. What those things are meant to do is to pull our attention away from Jesus and to place them on there. What we do is we start to exalt our own suffering and our own cares and our own worries and our own bad experiences over His suffering, right? They become the focal point of our life. Please understand that that is a tactic of the enemy. That's exactly what it's meant to do. When your cares and worries and fears and all of the stuff becomes heavier or greater than your service to God, than your relationship with Him, right? And I understand that that's what that is. And so this morning I wake up filled with joy and excitement. And I'm excited to see you guys. And I'm excited to get into Revelation chapter 2. And I even got some conviction about, ooh, let's be a little bit more gentle with individuals, especially new converts. We understand that you're on fire, Pastor Andrew, but not everybody can match that energy. And so, yes, pull them higher, pull them up, but also meet them where they're at with that love and compassion that you first had when you first got into ministry. And so it was good. And then as we're going through it, the thing's pausing, it's freezing, it's shutting off. We've got an excess amount of stuff going on here. And it's just like, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I understand. These are distractions. These are things that are meant to pull at our focus and attention. And I think that it's a good focal point for today. Remind yourself that as we leave this place, we unplug from Coffee and Prayer and we go out into the world, the things that are happening and going on, it's all a part of an elaborate scheme to get you and your focus and your eyes off of Him, right? Has anybody ever like left church and you're just, oh, I'm feeling good. And as I'm driving, bam, the reality of where you're at, like it sets in, like as you're driving, somebody, you know, cuts you off, flips you off, is honking the horn. I'll share that last time we went to Outreach, when we went to Outreach, I just laid hands on a lady. Okay, this lady, as we were packing up, she walks by and she said something about my hat. And I was like, well, I'm a pastor. She goes, oh, well, pray for me. And I said, I will. And I go, do you have a minute? And she's like, yeah. I go, can I pray for you right now? And she's like, of course. And so I go over to this woman who's unhomed, doesn't have anything, doesn't have a home. And I lay hands on her and I start praying for her. And we're praying for, you know, her to get a job and all of these different resources. And we had a great interaction. And as we're leaving, I'm just like, man, God is so good. He's got us down here. And we're, you know, we're giving back with our time, energy, and effort. And no joke, Kyra, it's going to be on our vlog. Kyra was like filming me as I'm driving. She was asking me how I felt and what was going on. And I was testifying of the goodness of God, paying attention to the road. I'm not even looking at the camera. I'm testifying of the goodness of God and how great of an experience that was. And there's a guy riding on me and he's flipping me off. And I'm just like, I'm not even doing anything wrong. He can't see that there's a car in front of me. So he thinks I'm going slow. And I'm like, dude, we are in one lane. And so he veers over, almost causes an accident, gets window to window with me, rolls his window down, and he's giving me the bird and he's cussing me out. He speeds up, he cuts me off and like tries to wreck me and then speeds off. And I'm just like, how did we just go from like praising God to almost being murdered on the highway? And we got it on film. Like, it was even better because she's got it on the camera because she was interviewing me. And I'm just like stunned. And I'm like, wow, that is an attack. We literally just left serving people, praying down all kinds of things from, you know, like it was wild. And then it's just like, boom, that's the kind of resistance that you experience. That's the kind of resistance that's going on. And that was manifested in the physical realm. I can only imagine what was going on in the spiritual realm. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's crazy. And think about that. When you guys are walking in the fullness of who God has called you to be, he's got you in places, he's got you in situations. And as you are honoring that, just imagine the gates of hell will not prevail. Imagine the spiritual resistance and what's taking place when we're stepping out and boldly doing what it is that God called us to do. The spiritual realm is hot, man. They're sick about it. Another example, again, you know, I'm going to come back to the scripture. I want to kind of dovetail everything and put it together. But me and my kids were at Venice Beach on Tuesday. Let's say Thursday's Tuesday. So we were down there shooting hoops. We were waiting for some people to show up. And a homeless gentleman came up and was like, hey, you guys want to shoot? Because we had our basketballs with us. We were doing some training. And I was like, I look at the kids. I was like, we got time. Go for it. So they start playing ball with this guy. You know, they're playing 21. And I'm just kind of sitting, hanging out. And then I got this nudge. He's like, you need to go play too. And it wasn't out of like a lack of safety. The guy seemed harmless. He seemed nice enough. So I get up and I'm like, can I join? And they're like, yeah. So I'm playing and we're still waiting and waiting and waiting. And as we're playing, the guy reveals, cause he scored on my son. And he was like, you can't let me score. He's like, I'm high on crystal meth. And I've got schizophrenia. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, I just took a hit of crystal meth. And so my kids are just like looking at me and I'm like, it's fine. Let's, you know, he seems harmless. He's fine. So we're playing. And when we're done, you know, I gave him a bottle of water. I called him over and I was like, here, man, have a bottle of water. And we were talking to him. I was like, can I pray for you? And he was like, absolutely, you can pray. And so I had my kids get around me and they put their hands on me and I laid hands on him and I was praying for him. And as I was praying against the spirit of addiction and the spirit of mental health and schizophrenia, as I'm like praying for this guy, you know, he's starting to, you know, start shaking and he starts mumbling something and he starts talking. And as I'm praying in the name of Jesus, he starts like getting antsy and nervous. And he was like, okay, I gotta shoot one shot. And so he interrupts the prayer and he walks away. And I was like, do you want me to finish praying for you? And he was like, no, I'm good. And he goes back to the basketball court. And I was looking at my kids and I was like, you know, right here, you know, he's possessed. And he was manifesting some kind of a demon. There was something going on, but it's not something that we pursued. But even what we're doing. We're laying hands. We're being in these places as we're being lights of Christ in this world and doing these things. The demons shudder, man. The darkness. Even see, look at that. The darkness and the evil that's in this world is agitated. It's angry because it doesn't have authority. It doesn't have power over us, over Christ, the Holy Spirit in us. It says that the power in us is greater than the power in the world and of the world. And so the demons have to obey the sound of our voice because we speak in the authority of Jesus. Amen. We speak in the authority of Jesus. And so what's happening is it's starting to freeze again. And so I want to share this brief message, and then I'm going to cut it off. I receive it. I'm not running from it. I feel complete. My spirit has come back to peace. I think that whoever needed to hear that heard what they needed to hear. You are constantly under attack. This is a war. It's completely froze again. I'm not even on the screen now. It's a war. It is an absolute war. We are in the middle of warfare. And take joy, Christians, brothers and sisters, take joy. Put on your armor. Level up. Understand what's going on. And yeah, man, keep fighting the good fight. It's amazing. It's amazing that it's happening as we speak. Thank you, Jesus. I have a feeling that tomorrow I'm going to get on here and I'm going to testify of something. Something's happening in the spirit. And I believe that a powerful testimony is going to come tomorrow. Tomorrow morning on Coffee and Prayer, there's going to be a powerful testimony. And so I thank you guys for just rocking with it. This is completely unscripted. This is not what today was supposed to be about. Apparently it was. Apparently it was. So let's pray. Let's pray our way out of here. I want you guys to be aware. I want you to be alert. If this doesn't create a sense of urgency and seriousness, I don't know what will. I don't know what's going to get you guys to get grounded. I don't know what's going to make this more real or more serious to you guys. There is a sense of urgency. There is a sense of reality. This cannot wait until Monday. This can't wait until New Year's Eve resolution. You guys, get right with God. Start living out loud. Get rid of the sin in your life. Get rid of the evil little things that you guys are doing. Break free from those things. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that it needs to do in your life. Stop living for yourself and start living for your Savior. It's not about you. And now I'm preaching to myself because there's things that I'm even thinking and that are going through. It's not about us. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Him. And the more that people see Him in you, the greater the resistance is going to be. Understand that. Understand that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. God, we receive your truth. We receive what it is that you're trying to reveal to us. God, as we read Revelations, we are seeing full disclosure. The enemy no longer is hiding. The enemy is no longer sneaking around and hiding or being behind the scenes. He has completely revealed himself. He's loud, he's proud, he's boisterous, he's filled with pride. So God, help us to live lives that exemplify what it is to follow you. Help us to walk in the fullness and the boldness and the authority that we have because of what you accomplished through your death, burial, and resurrection. God, we need you. We cannot do this without you. Without you, we are lost. Without you, we are weak. Without you, we have no endurance. Without you, we can't even stay focused. We can't even pray. Without you, we're slaves to sin and we bow to every temptation that knocks on our door. But with you, Lord, we are strong and powerful. No weapon formed against us will prosper, Lord. With you, we overcome he who is in this world with your blood and with the power of our testimony. So as we leave this place, God, we just pray that we would keep our eyes on you. We know that you've gone before us. We know that you've prepared good works for us to complete. We know that you never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to stand on your truth and help us to be lights in this dark and evil world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Christian, yes, I agree, Bob. Christian, thank you for your hard work at monitoring and moderating this overly saturated live today. Absolutely wild. Wild. I love you guys. And we'll come back here tomorrow and jump right back into Revelation chapter 3, Genesis 46. I apologize for the connection issues. It's out of my control. As you guys know, that's not something that happens on a regular basis. I can't control who shows up. A lot of distraction today. So what does that tell you, saints? What does that tell you, Christians? Keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes open. Stay aware. Stay alert. Stay alert. Anyway, I'll catch you guys later. I'll see you tomorrow.